filling in for Rashog. I think he might even have a stronger back, maybe. The host of the Lowdown, Alan Mitchell, joins us. LT, how you doing?
I don't know any Justin Timberlake songs. I don't use utensils to really for anything, so I don't know how I can replace Rashog here. It seems a stretch.
Nice. Al, I saw you wrote your Oilers top 20 prospects, which is awesome because now we have something to disagree on, which is great. I like Broberg ahead of Bouchard, but you know that's picking. You know that's not even an argument.
It's one versus two.
But yeah. I actually, and I know some people might not. I think Tyler Benson at five is probably too high. But the one I'm really going to disagree with, I think the guy that nobody's talked about, and that's totally fair. But I've talked to a lot of scouts, Michael Kesslering, the right shot defenseman at Northeastern. I think he's much high. Like I think he's got way better chance because there's some guys like I just don't think Marody's going to be an NHL player. I don't think Berglund's an NHL player. You know, Tulio not yet. So even William Lagesson, I'd move him ahead of all those guys. I think Kesslering's kind of the quiet guy that no one's talked about in the Oilers organization that they're quite high on.
Well, he's one thing I'll say, when he came here to the rookie camp, at first he looked like, I mean, I thought, man, how is he going to get down the ice? But he's got an unusual skating style, but it's pretty effective for a big guy. And from what we have been told, he's making progress. He's 1 year in the NCAA, which is early, but I think he's going to be a really good player. The difficulty with projecting college guys, I know Craig Button is big on, is it Kemp? The shutdown defenseman. We don't see those guys. Their numbers have a tendency to be a little lower at that level. I'm sure the Oilers are very high on Kesslering. One thing I wonder about with him is how aggressive they'll be after his sophomore year to maybe try to sign him. I don't think they want another John Marino.
Well, yeah, I mean, did people know about John Marino? Because I remember when that trade came down, like, oh, they got a draft pick for this guy. Then he turns out to be a top four defenseman for Pittsburgh. Not a good look.
No, well, the owners did like him, but he didn't want to sign here. So it wasn't, there's not much you could do at that point.
I heard that he was a, I don't know for sure, but what I had heard, and this didn't come from anybody around the Oilers, it came from a different organization, that he was sort of attached a little bit to Chiarelli, and that the relationship that ended probably ended the possibility of the. I'm not saying they would have signed him anyway, but that was a fait accompli at that time.
Well, I was told that he looked at the Oilers' depth chart. Right, you're right. You know, he had a little bit of connection to Chiarelli, but he looked at Bear, he looked at Bouchard, he looked at Ben and his young guys, and felt like there wasn't going to be the opportunity that he could get elsewhere.
Well, you know, this has happened to the Oilers before. And the other thing, the other side happened too. You know, Benning signs here. Usually, if a kid's from the States, and especially from the Eastern Seaboard, then there's a chance you're going to lose them to one of those teams. I remember when they tried to sign the Detroit kid, who ended up going to the Red Wings. Holland ended up getting him, but the Oilers were interested in him. But he was. You know, from down there, and when they were leaving after the interview, they were leaving the restaurant, his dad's car had a Go Red Wings license plate, so they sort of knew they weren't going to get him. So
now, Low Tide, when I look at your list here of the players that are, you know, the stockpile of prospects in the top 20, where are you least comfortable for the Oilers and their depth?
Well, I think that they're, you know, in all honesty, they have, I like Lavoie. I think Holloway is going to be. I think Holloway is going to be one of the really. He's likely to play. He might play center on the third line. He might be a on the top two lines as a winger. But he's going to play. But after that, you've got like Benson is. You know, he's going to have to work at it, but I don't think he'll be top six. And McLeod, I think he will be in the NHL, but as a depth center. After that, I think they need offensive forwards, like wingers and centers who can push. Not that they're going to push McDavid or Draisaitl anytime soon, but I think they had a darn good draft, to be honest with you. As well as they did, I think they need to go right back next year and draft a bunch more forwards. Their defense, quite honestly, Samarikov is you know, he's doing well in the KHL, and he's like behind Broberg on the left side of the depth chart.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, with Oscar Klefbom's uncertainty about his future, Al, there's a big opening on the left side. And I'll say this about Broberg, man, I watched his game the other day, man, and there's very few 19-year-olds that even play significant minutes, never mind play significant minutes and perform well.
Oh yeah,
in Sweden's elite league, like that in itself is really impressive.
It is, and you can look at it. I mean, I can't remember what it is, but a guy like Klefbom, who was a pretty darn good player at 19 in the SHL, he wasn't getting these kinds of minutes. This is and he's getting power play minutes and producing too. One of the things that was, you know, it's so hard to project these guys, and that's why I always appreciate scouts. When you looked at Broberg's record before he got into the draft, there wasn't a lot there. He didn't play the kinds of minutes, the power play minutes, that you would expect to be able to say, oh, well, this guy might be able to do this. We knew he could wheel, and we knew from the World Juniors that he could score gorgeous goals. But, I mean, he's been productive in the SHL, which is maybe the third best league in the world behind the KHL and the NHL, and he's doing it, and he's a teenager, so... I mean, they have a guy here. I mean, he's let's not kid ourselves. I thought it was a stretch at 8 when they got him. I think it was 8. Yeah. Now I'm less certain. I think they might have gotten somebody.
So nice. He's putting up Strudwick like numbers in Hungary.
Yeah,
is what he's doing right now.
That's,
well,
let's not put that much pressure on this guy, guys.
Just wait till he gets to Edmonton and Strudy can talk to him. I mean, the lid will be off.
Now, I love that you bring it as we're joined by Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown Flow Tide. You can hear him every day on the station from 10 to 12. You talk about the three best leagues. So you said, I believe, not to put words in your mouth, but I think you said NHL, KHL, Sweden. Where is the AHL rank in this listing? You know, just for a comparable for the, your fans are listening and trying to gauge where Broberg is maybe come out if you were playing the AHL this year.
Well, I think AHL is a really good league. I think it's the folks who do the equivalencies, I think the AHL is above the Finnish league, the Liiga. I think Switzerland might be just around there. But the AHL is a very good league. The problem with the AHL is, compared to these other leagues, like right now, Evan Bouchard, I believe he's playing in the Allsvenskan. Well, it's a league with men, and it's a good league. But the AHL is you know, guys who are 26, 27 years old in the AHL, they're really tough players. The AHL is a very difficult league for young players to develop and to, you know, flourish, because everybody there is trying to take your job. The AHL guys, you know, you think you're getting to the NHL when you're 20. They think they're getting to the NHL, too. So there's a hardness to the AHL that I don't think like a Finland or some of those other nations would have. It's a very good league.
Al, early on we had Mike Clay on the show telling us about the Dallas Cowboys, who are first in the NFC East right now at 2-3. When they've had the ball on offense, they've had the lead 6% of the time, mm-hmm. which is not very good. Yet they're still leading the division now.
Whoa.
Your Eagles, Strutty's Giants, the no-name Washingtons. Like, my goodness, it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, it would be, except that you know, I don't know if you've seen the Eagles injury chart every week. They put it out today. It was 6 pages. I mean, the Eagles are on the IR. The guys are, and I'll give credit to the procurement department of the Eagles. They're coming up with some pretty fine players here. But they're playing the Ravens this weekend. They're going to get slaughtered. I mean, the Giants are so bad, you could put them on a garbage barge, like, you know, out on New York Harbor, and just have the guys who work on the garbage barge play the Giants, and they'd beat them. That's how bad the Giants are.
After this weekend, we're going to be 1-5, and we'll be tied with you guys. Well, I guess technically we can't, because you guys
we got an
tied.
Overtime loss.
Yeah. 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 I can't. Yeah, you guys punted. Fearless. We're fearless in Philadelphia.
I hope that because I'm a big fan of Gingers, I hope that Dalton runs off a 5-game winning streak here and Cowboys put this division away, because show no mercy to the Eagles. They're injured, but they don't deserve to win the division. And if they don't deserve to win the division, the Giants sure as hell don't deserve to win the division.
One last quick one for you, or not one last, but Joe Thornton signing with Toronto. This is a surprise. Ian, what does he add to this group of, you know, winning players there in the Leafs jerseys.
Well, I cannot wait till he scores four goals in a game, first of all.
I think it had to be five.
Was it five? Okay.
I think so.
I like to sign. I've always liked Joe Thornton. I'm unlike a lot of other people. I'm, if Toronto wins the Stanley Cup, I think they will have earned it. I think it's a cool signing. They also have Spezza, right?
Yes.
So I do wonder a little bit about, like, are they going to, is this like Jacques Plante and Glenn Hall on the old Blues where, you know, each guy plays 40 games? I'm not sure about that. But I've always liked Thornton. I think he's a tremendously skilled player. Obviously, you know, he's eroded because he's older. But the Toronto Maple Leafs are, I don't think they're as close as people think they are, but Joel Thornton can do nothing but help. He'll help on the power play. He's a veteran guy. If you need to win a face-off, now he's not fast. So if there's a jailbreak, count on somebody else. But I like Joel Thornton. I hope he wins a Stanley Cup. If it's not in Toronto, then I hope the Leafs at the deadline trade him to Edmonton so he can win here.
I don't know, Al. They could be in the same division. There might not be any inter-Canadian trades if that happens. Al, I don't know if you. I wrote about it. I was looking into like worst case scenario for hockey fans and players and management and family and media and fans and everybody is there might not be an NHL season because if there's no fans allowed in the stands, the NHL is not playing. I've got that confirmed by many different sources. There's just not the financial wherewithal in the NHL to do that. And that's unlikely, but is still a possibility. And with that, Al, could come some huge change. Number one, you'd probably have all the contracts slide a year, not just evaporate like an 0405, but slide.
Yeah, yeah.
But the expansion rules. So a guy like Kyler Yamamoto, in the wording, would then not have to be protected.
Yeah.
Whereas guys like Russell and Larson, well, Larson specific, because Russell actually has a no-movement clause, so he'd have to agree to it. But now they would actually be eligible, because Edmonton doesn't have guys, unless they're going to expose Jones,
right,
that fall into the requirements. So I looked up a lot of different teams around the league. Like, I'm telling you, it would be a vastly different-looking expansion draft if, indeed, there's no season. Like, it's crazy how it could really benefit some teams.
Well, I think the NHL has to allow teams to make trades before the expansion draft, I think, because like Edmonton would be in a real pickle because I don't think they have a player who is meets the requirements of the draft on defense. Benning would have, they walked him. I think they'd have to let NHL teams get their house in order for the expansion draft. But it would be from a team building point of view, it would be fascinating because I think the Oilers, I think Holland, in two straight years now, he sort of kicked the ball down on the road in anticipation of a year where he can actually spend some dollars, which would be next year, with Larson and Russell and all the other names coming off the roster and all those dollars being available. I think that's what he was sort of aiming for long term. So that would probably punch a hole in that idea, at least for a year. But, from an expansion point of view, I think Seattle's going to have a pretty damn good team no matter what. But this is going to be, I hope they get a season in. If they don't, can we get, like, I know Strutty's got a backyard rink. Maybe we could get a light there and a camera so we could just watch him out there, like, shooting against a net with an old plywood sheet or something as the goalie. Got to watch something, right?
So it's like Youngblood. So it'd be like watching Joel Youngblood in his dad's farm and just shooting pucks. Maybe you do that. Maybe I'll broadcast that directly to your TV. Speechless.
I think we might have lost him.